Father, thank you that we can just respond to that words now, Lord. We open up our hearts, we open up our minds, we open up our spirits, Lord, to receive you. Thank you, Lord, that you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who is on the throne, the creator of this world. Thank you that your word is the truth and it cuts sharper than, two-edged sword, Lord. Thank you that you speak to us, Lord. Thank you that you speak through me now, Lord. Pray that your name will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh. Morning. Morning, everyone. Yeah, it's so lucky to be with you guys this morning. So I'm just trying to organize myself here. So many books and stuff. Cool. Yeah, so this morning I'm excited to share with you. I didn't plan this as a series, but God had a different plan. So last week I shared it with you about John 15. And this whole week I've been meditating on it and really digging into the Word and trying to understand what it is that God wants to say more. Because after speaking to a few people who were actually at the in the service, there was a cry, like a hunger that God still stirred in our hearts, like, there's more. There's more to this word than just what was shared. And I know I shared a bit high level with regards to the prophecy, but today I'm excited to share with you a little bit deeper, because we started with the fact where God's inviting us into intimacy with him. Abide in me as I abide in you, and you will bear much fruit. And one of those things is that Jesus says to them, he says, I no longer see you as a slave, but I see you as a friend. And what I hear the Father says to me, I share with you. So which means God's inviting us into that intimate moment, intimacy with him, saying, hey, I'm inviting you into this space where I and the Father share the hearts together with you as my friend. Eh? It's one of the passages where God actually calls us his friend, where Jesus calls us his friend. He says, you are no longer a slave, but you are friend. And this morning, I'm excited where I'm going to do this in a four-part series. So this is part one. I felt the hunger and God stirring in my heart to do more. So this is part one of the four-part series. So this morning, we're going to speak about the first thing that is mentioned there, and it's about fruits. God says, abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. Okay, so we're going to go into fruit this morning. Okay, the next slide there, you can see that's a colorful bowl of a fruit that's colorful, and it speaks about the diversity, the fruit, but when it comes together, it brings a nice flavor, eh? So it's beautiful. And I chose that picture, but my wife helped me with my slides. So credit to my ministry assistant working late nights on sermon slides. So this morning, I'm excited to share with you about John 15. So we're just going to look at one verse quickly. We're going to look at 15 verse 6, and it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that the fruit should abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, may it be given to you. So when you look at that passage, is that God's already spoken in that passage with regards to abiding me. But before he says abiding me, he first says, I am the true vine. So he takes it back to the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah prophesies in Isaiah 5, and he says to Israel, you were the vine that I've chosen, but you produced wild grapes. I don't like the wild grapes that you've produced for me. I wanted you to produce the grapes that brings life, not the wild grapes that you have produced. In Isaiah 5 verse 7, it speaks about the wild grapes. But when we go a little bit further on into this Isaiah, I'm just recapping on last week, Isaiah 27 verse 6, when it comes to God saying to us, in that days to come, Jacob shall take up root, Israel shall bloom, blossom and bring forth fruit that will fill the whole world with fruit. So God's redeeming Israel in that moment. Now he's saying to Israel, hey Israel, I'm going to redeem this wild grapes that you've produced. I'm going to take it. I'm not going to chuck it out, but I'm going to take it and I'm going to produce good fruit to it that will fill the whole world. So the next slide, Adon. Yeah, that one. That we must bear fruit so that the whole world can taste of that fruit and be drawn to Christ. Because as we abide in God, we will bear fruit. As we abide in what He's called us to do, we will bear fruit. The Bible is quite clear when it says that God uses the fruit to look at a Christian. Eh? When God says, you can judge a Christian by the fruits. You can judge a disciple of Christ by the fruits that they produce. So what is God inviting us into here? He's saying to us, hey, the fruit of a Christian speaks about an intimacy with me. As God says, be with Jesus. John Mark McComber says that, be with Jesus. And we know that in our life groups, we have the cycle that says, the first week we focus on, hey Esme, welcome. That says, to be with Jesus is to be with Him, to have that intimacy with Him. Him speaking to us, speaking to our spirits, we having one, we use the form of communion a lot, where we are with Jesus in that moment, the intimacy that is currently there. And the other thing that He says is that we must become like Jesus. So how do we become like Jesus? How do the world know that you are Jesus' disciple? By the fruit that you produce from that intimacy with Him. That's why when we abide in Him, we will bear much fruit. Remember, we spoke about the pruning and everything and how does that work? God prunes us so that we can bear more fruit. The pruning is a character building situation, which is not always an easy one, but it helps us to be fruitful, not fruitless. Eh? Because God said, if you don't abide in me and your branch, what will happen to you as the branch? You will be cut off because you will be thrown into the fire. But I use the analogy of the vine where in the season of its life, it's stripped down to the bare minimum. So when you look at it, you actually look at it and you're like, what's happened to this thing? Can this thing produce next year the same amount of fruit? And then God says it will produce more because it was pruned. The pruning process is the difficult one for us, but the pruning is important so that we can bear more fruit. So which takes us back to a parable where Jesus uses in Matthew 13, when He speaks about the parable of the sower. When you look at that passage, God is already telling us, hey, in that passage, He's saying to us that if we receive Him, our roots shoot deep into Him, we will be like a tree. And that tree will bear fruit. The tree will bear fruit. And the parable, He says, it starts and He says, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil comes and snatches it away, what is sown in its heart. For this what is sown along the path, as what was sown on rocky ground, is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. So Jesus is saying to us, the some of the seeds have fallen across the path and it was taken by the enemy because there wasn't anything that shot into the ground that could produce into the foundation of our spirit that could produce a lasting fruit. But also the one that fell on the rocky ground, meaning that the rocky ground, it also couldn't find its roots because the ground wasn't right. The ground was rocky. You received the word. You ran with it. There wasn't any discipleship. There wasn't any abiding first, going to Christ, taking the word to Him. Abide in me as I abide in you. Spending time with Jesus, understanding what the word brings. But Jesus is taking it to the next level and He says to that, this person immediately receives it, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. When the tribulation and the persecution arise on account of the word, immediately he falls a way. So what happens is that there was no pruning that was happening. No pruning happened in order for the person to produce fruit that was lasting. Remember the analogy that I used last week was that the vineyard is stripped of its prach and praal, meaning that it's stripped bare nakedly, that it doesn't have anything except just a small little stem that's sticking out, but its roots goes deep down into the ground, and that's where it gets it from. And this is what Jesus is saying, as the sum of among the thorns and the other word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word and proves it to be unfruitful. As for those who are sown on good soil, the one who hears the word and understands it, he indeed bears fruit and yields one case hundredfold, another 60, and another 30. So what God's saying to us is here that when we abide in him, John 15, I am the true vine, I am God, I am your healer, I am with you, wherever you go, we are one, I'm inviting you into this intimacy with me, then you will bear fruit that's lasting. As it speaks to the parable of the sower, which is in Matthew, where God's explaining to them about this situation. So the gospel is that for us to be with God, so that the world can see our fruit and be drawn to it. That the world can be drawn to and eat the fruit that we have in our lives, so that the world doesn't get misled by the fruits that we don't produce or that we should produce. And that is why the intimacy part comes first. We see where Jesus is taking it to them. He's saying to them, the first thing that you need to do is to abide in the true vine. And that is Jesus, the living hope. Jesus saying to us, abide in this true vine, abide in me, and I in you, and I will share my deepest secrets with you. Jesus teaches us throughout scripture that people are recognized by their fruit, and that our true character is seen in our inner words and actions. So how does the world perceive us as Christians determines what is happening in our intimacy with Jesus. How you portray yourself out there determines what happens in your intimacy, in your inner room with God first. And that's how you are portrayed to the world as an ambassador to Christ. And we know that the only way that we can do that, and that brings me to today's message, is the fruitfulness that we get when we walk in the Spirit, eh? The life led by the Spirit. In the Spirit of God, the word says, the Spirit, without the Spirit, we can do nothing. But with God's Spirit, we can do everything. And with the Spirit of God, we are able to produce fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Listen to the word, the fruit of the Spirit. So there are the 9 fruits that we're going to go through where Jesus was perfectly in and portraying it to the world wasn't fruits of the Spirit, eh? Like the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit is a different analogy when it comes to God saying to us, Carolyn, I see you have the gifts of, I give you the gifts of the knowledge of, the word of knowledge. Sam, you in the prophecy. That is something that is given to us. But the fruit of the Spirit is a reflection of the intimacy that we have with Christ. Amen? It speaks about the intimacy that we have with Christ. And that's why Paul's writing to this church of Galatians, and we know that the first part goes on about the circumcision, and we're like, why are you fighting about this? Like, didn't the Old Testament sort that out? Jesus is the fulfillment of that. That's why we don't have to be circumcised anymore. But they're going on about the outer focus, and they're going on, and then Paul's writing them and says, guys, you are missing this point right here, right now. Because that is not what defiles you. And then he goes on and he says to them, hey, the fruits of the Spirit is what's important to us. But before he gets to them, he first speaks to the flesh. You see how Paul does it and Jesus does it? Jesus first said to us, abide in me and you will bear much fruit. If you don't abide in me, you will bear nothing. And what's a branch that will bear no fruit will be cut off and thrown into the fire. Which means that it's useless to God because there's no fruit. But the one who allows God to prune himself. Remember being stripped from your prach and pral, being naked before God. Coming to God saying, God, this is me. This is who I am. I am nothing without you. Allow him to prune you so that next season you can bear even more fruit. So Paul's writing about this fruit to this church and he's saying to them, the church of Galatians, guys, this is what you need to do. To keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit, he says, but I say to you, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Stay within God, abide in me, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So let's look at what Paul says to them. How does that life should look? How should the fruit look? So Galatians 5 verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Patience. Oh, sorry. I wasn't too patient there. So, what's Paul saying to the church? He's saying to them, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what speaks with a life of intimacy with God. First of all, God's inviting us to intimacy. So, what is the reflection that Jesus, when Jesus went to the innermost room with the Father, he came out and he portrayed this to the world. He was flowing in this nine fruits. And the first one that we get is love. So love is the first and greatest quality and the most clearly reflected character of God. Hey? Because God loved us. That he made us. And he made us that we could worship him. But then we turned our backs on him and then he loved us so much to let us perish. That he became flesh and he pitched his tent among us so that we don't have to die, but we can abide with him, in him, spend time with him, be with him, so that we can bear fruit. And one of the biggest, the most important fruit that he wants us to bear is love. When we know that in that same passage in John 15, he says that you will be known by your love. Love commands, eh? The love that I've poured into you. The love that I've given you. And the second one is joy. The second one is joy. Why? Because we rejoice in the salvation that we have in God. Because in Christ, we are now saved. We are made new. And once you are new, what happens is that there's joy. If you meet a new lady and you're single like Sam is, what happens in his heart is that joy will be stirred into his heart. And that's why the Bible speaks about the joy that comes from a Christian. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit that second. The first one is love, which is the greatest and the most important. And we know that joy is important as well because the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy that we have in God is our strength. The situations that we face, the joy that we turn that situation in, the joy that we face that situation determines an intimacy that we have with Christ. Hey? Determines the intimacy that Jesus speaks about in John 15. The third one is peace. Peace is a product of God's reconciling sinners to himself. We no longer enemies, but we can now boldly approach God. He says, enter into my throne room with grace and boldly approach my throne room. Eh? He says, now there's no more secrets between us. There's no more secrets between us. I want to share my heart. I've called you now my friend. So I want to share my heart with you because I've instilled that joy into your heart to be joyful. And now I'm giving you peace to know that you have access to me. We are one because of we abiding in each other, eh? So peace is a product of that. And the fourth one is patience. Patience shows Christians are following God's plan and His timetable. When we patiently await on the word that God has spoken over us, when we patiently await for God to use us wherever He wants to use us, when we patiently await in a situation where we say, I don't see it, how is it going to change my situation, but I'm patiently going to wait on the Lord because He is faithful. He is who He says He is. He is because He's sharing His heart's desires with me. He is love and He has instilled this joy in my heart. And I can have that peace in Him, therefore I can be patient. Kindness is something we do towards others. Likewise, it's also the tribute from God. So kindness, we approach each other with kindness. I'm kind to my wife. I'm kind to my family. I'm kind to the people around me because it's something that God has instilled in our hearts. As we, in that intimacy with Him, we are abiding in Him, that is one of the fruits that will be produced out of it. Goodness. Goodness is our working for the benefit of others, not for ourselves. The goodness of God that leads us to repentance, eh? It's the goodness of God that draws us to Him. It's God's being good that's being drawn. So God's saying that same goodness that I've instilled in you to draw people to you so that they can see me is what I want you to produce. As you abide in me, do that. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is consistently saying that what I'm saying, I'm going to do. As God says in His word, I have spoken this word over you and it will not come to me unless it will accomplish what I've set it out to be. So the faithfulness in our lives is how we speak to one another, is that when I say to you, hey, I'm going to be there this time and that time, I'm going to be there. Or if I said I'm going to be your accountability buddy, I'm going to be accountable and I expect you to do the same. That's one of the things that we as Christians should produce. The faithfulness. Because in the world, the inconsistency is what gets to the world. Because there's no inconsistency in our, which means there's no integrity. Is one of the things that Jesus wants us to do. Gentleness is a quality of Jesus that enables us to find rest in Him and encourage and strengthen others. Gentleness is a quality of Jesus that enables people to find rest in Him and encourage and strengthen others. When I handle someone with gentleness and kindness, when I come to you in a gentle manner, when we have a disagreement, I'm coming to you in a gentle manner in order to resolve this. That speaks about the fruit that I have because of this intimacy that I have with Christ. This intimacy that I have with Christ, one of the fruits that comes out is that gentleness. And then the last one is the self-control, the discipline that is given to us by the Holy Spirit to resist the power of the flesh. Self-control is something that God's given to us, that we don't fall into the fleshly desires, which we know that Paul speaks about just before this. He speaks about that fleshly desires, which is adultery, impurity, sexual immorality, all that stuff that the world seeks after, is that we should look different to the world. Why should we look different to the world? Because God says, abide in me, and I in you. And when you abide in me, this is the fruit that you will produce as a Christian. This is the fruit that you will produce as a Christian. And this is the fruit that Jesus produced while He was on earth. And this is the fruit of the Spirit that speaks of a life led by the Spirit. And that is our thing today, is that as we are Christians and we abide in God in this intimacy, and God said, The prophecy went out in Isaiah to say that I will fill this whole earth with fruit. That branches and that fruit that it speaks about is spoken to us here in Galatians 5, where Paul is referring to the church. And that is the exact word is being spoken to us today. And that's how the world will judge you. And that's how the world will look at you. And that's how we as Christians are allowed to judge each other, by the fruit that we produce. And the cool thing about this is that God's not saying to us that you, because you have love, you don't have to have peace. Because you have patience, you don't have to have self-control. No, he's saying to us, I expect you because I've called you to abide. Abide in me. That's where it starts. The intimacy with God. The intimacy with God. The time that we spend in our inner rooms with God, when we close the door, when no one's looking, that is where these are produced. This is where the life of Christ is shown. That is where our lives reflect what God wants us to reflect. And we know that in that same passage, John says to us that the love that commands each other, greater love has no one than to lay down his life for his friends. But God's saying to us, today, the fruit that we bear is what draws that people to us. So how does the world look when they walk into this church at Shofar Boston today? What does the world see when they walk into? How does the world see when they're in your house, when they're spending time with you, in your family? How does they see what is the fruit that they see in your life? How are you going to explain to a new disciple, someone who just got to know Christ? Remember, it speaks about the rocky ground where it felt, and the person received the word immediately, and the person ran with it. But when the trials and tribulations came, when the pruning came, the person turned its back to say, hey, this is hard. This is too hard for me. I can't do this. I'm tapping out. But the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is what we need to produce. And we can only produce this fruit in our intimacy with God as we abide in Him. Abide in Him. I am the true vine. Outside of me, you can't bear anything. That's the first response Jesus called us to do. Be with Him. Jesus says, be with me, abide in me, and you will become like me, bear much fruit. Because the fruit that Jesus produced to the world is what drawn us to Him. Jesus didn't come and then just spoken the words He did, but He also lived it. And today, we as Christians, we're not only called to speak the Word of God, to go out and share the Word of God, but we're supposed to live it. That's the first and foremost thing. Because when we speak to someone, the impact that it has is very small. In fact, it's very little. Because how do you disciple someone is when that person sees you as an apprentice. That apprentice that it speaks about. When someone is your apprentice, that person will do what you were doing and show that person to do. The saying that goes, tell me something and I'll forget. Show me and I might remember. But involve me. And I'll definitely remember. What is the fruit that your life is portraying today? What is the fruit that you are portraying today? Does your life speak about a life filled by the Holy Spirit? Which means you are abiding in Him? Are you abiding in Christ? Is your fruit shown to the world that they can see that fruit? Does the young ones, the disciples that's drawn to you, what is drawing them to you? Is it the fame, the fortune? Or is it the fruit of your life that you're speaking about? I'm going to call up the band quickly. As I wrap this up for us. And while I was preparing for this, I really felt that this is a word that we probably heard a couple of times. But God is giving it us to in a different way. And He's saying to us, hey guys, the way that you thought it was is not the way that it is now. Because when you abide in me, I share my deepest heart's desires and my heart's concerns with you. When you abide in me as the church of Shofar Boston, I share with you what is the mandate of Shofar Boston. I share with you what is it that the fruits that Shofar Boston should walk by. What is the fruit that Shofar Boston should be known by? Eh? Because we are allowed to be judged by the fruit that we produce. When a new person walks into this family, what is the fruit that they are faced with? Let's all stand together. So John clearly speaks to us about this, and he clearly writes it to us in this time because this speaks about God's heart for us. It's not that Jesus came so that we can be saved, and now we're saved in our houses, now we're saved in our at church on a Sunday. No, Jesus came that we can have a life that testifies about Him. That our workplaces should be a testimony of how our lives look with Jesus. How we abide in Him at our homes. How we abide in Him in our rooms. With our wife, with our children. How it speaks to the world out there. Because when someone walks into this church right now, will they be faced with love? Will the joy of God's salvation be evident to them? Eh? Will the joy that these people have a living relationship with God, will that be evident to them? Or will we be too caught up in our own worries and the deceitfulness of this world as the sower was? One of the parables where Jesus used that the worries became too much and then the person tapped out. But what is it that Shofar Boston is portraying to us today? What was your first experience when you approached, when you came to this church? I'm going to ask us to close our eyes right now. And I want you to reflect on your own life because this is between you and God today. I'm not going to do an altar call today. I want you to go and think because this is not just this is not something for today. Something to respond on quickly like the rocky ground. It fell quickly and then it shot the roots quickly. But it wasn't lasting. This is a lifestyle that you're invited into. We're going to worship one more song after this. But as we worship God this morning, if that fruit is not evident in your life, if the love of Jesus and the love that He has for this world is not evident in your life and not your first response today, let's start by that. Because that's the first fruit that God wants us to have. Do I love this world? Do I want to see this world be saved, to know Jesus? Do I want people to know God as the Father? Do I want people to get to know Jesus as His friend, to become friends of Him? And how is that fruit in my life today? Father, thank you that you've given us an amazing example, Lord. Thank you that you didn't just tell us what to do, Lord. But Jesus, you came and you involved us into your life, into the walk with you. You've given us your word, the spoken truth, Lord, that shows us a life that's pleasing to you today. Help us to always abide in you, Lord. Help us to allow you to prune us, Lord, so that we don't die away, Lord. But that we must bear much fruit, Lord. Help us to stay fruitful to you, Lord. That we don't become fruitless to the world. that you have given us, Lord. That we don't become fruitless to this Boston community today, Lord. That we don't become fruitless to our neighbors today, Lord. That we don't become fruitless to our colleagues at work today, Lord. But the fruit that we bear, Lord, that it will be tasty. And it will be colorful, Lord. And people will see it immediately when they have an interaction with us today. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that is you, I want you just to raise your hand to God today and say, hey, Lord, come and stir this fruit in my heart today, Lord. Remember, God didn't say that you must have only love, because the fruit of the Spirit is all nine. It's all nine today. The way you respond when you're in traffic, the way you respond to the taxi driver cutting in front of you, the way you respond to a person driving 60 on the highway. Father, let our lives reflect you today. Let our fruit reflect you today, Lord. May the fruit that we bear, Lord, bring glory and honor to your name today. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Jesus, have my heart, my will, my soul. Jesus, have my hopes, my dreams, my world. With joy I lay it down, with joy I cast my crown. Jesus, have it all. To you I bring my praise, my lips, my song, a living sacrifice, as one reborn. Your life is now my own, your will is what I want. Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have it all. To you belongs the glory, praise of all the world. Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have it all. All blessing and all honor, majesty and all. Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have your church, your love, your bride, the joy for which you freely gave your life, radiant in white, washed and purified. Jesus, have us all. Jesus, have your worth, your due, your son, the praise of every nation, tribe and tongue. All that has been made, glorify your name. Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have it all. To you belongs the glory, praise of all the world. Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have it all, for blessing and all honor, all majesty and all. Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have it all. of all the world. Jesus, have it all. Jesus, have it all. All blessing and all honor, all majesty and all. Jesus, have it all.
Let's close the service now. But if there's anyone with a prayer request, please come and chat to myself or grab any one of the people here, some of the leaders, the life group leaders. Yeah. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and the Lord may be gracious to you. Therefore, go in peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Pour someone a coffee. The new people, yeah.